Welcome to the Bridge Church Podcast. Our hope is that God would speak to you during this time, and our mission is to connect you to Jesus daily.
Of a series called A Day in the Life, and our heart for this series is that we're taking faith, because sometimes it can seem big. This Bible can seem big, and the stories can seem almost impossible and far-fetched, and how do we bring that into our everyday life? How do we bring that into motherhood, into fatherhood, into our marriage, into our co-worker space, into our friendships? How do we bring all of that in together? And so that's really the heartbeat of this series. And so today we're in Mark chapter 6, and maybe you've never had this story told on a Mother's Day service, but I believe it was God ordained. He knew that we'd be in this series. He knew that this chapter in the book of Mark would fall on Mother's Day, and it's pretty uncanny, the principles in this story and how they all intertwine all together. But I just want to pray for us, ask God to speak this morning and to open up our hearts to receive what His Word and His principles and how they can still shape our lives. And so let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we love You. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for Your truth. God, thank You for speaking through these ladies here today. Thank You for speaking through all of us in the church, God, and how amazing that You put forth this plan for a local church and how we can speak into each other's lives, God, that we're in this godly community together. God, I just thank You for each and every person that You've brought here today listening online who attend our church, God, because we know they are not here by mistake, that You're knitting us together by the Holy Spirit. And I pray that You just speak today. I pray that I will decrease so that You may increase. I pray that Your love will move, and I pray that we would walk out of this place clinging to You. We love You and ask this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So on Mother's Day, I know it can come with many, many different mixed emotions, many different avenues depending on where you grew up, how you grew up, your relationship with different people, and even different seasons of life bring different emotions to the mix. But one of the things I believe about Mother's Day that is impactful is it causes all of us to take a day at least, and we think up a generation, right? Maybe we think about our mother or the people who invested in us, but we also think down a generation. It's a special day where we're thinking generationally. We're thinking about how all of those play in together, and maybe even grandmother. So we're thinking two generations up, or we're thinking, well, I wonder what my grandkids, two generations down. And it's a unique day to where we can evaluate that. And one of our core values is to bridge those generations, because there's so much beauty in every generation. And I believe God is a generational God when we read through Scripture. And that each generation can teach us something, right? I mean, if we look at one generation can teach us actually how to function without Wi-Fi, right? Like, there is life outside of the internet. There is life outside of cell phones. You used to live that way, right? Like, that was reality. But then there's generations that they can teach us the World Wide Web and how you can learn just about anything you want to on YouTube, right? No lie, I changed my radiator, and I'm not a mechanic, but I watched YouTube, and he walked me right through it. You know, like, there is a generation, and so there are incredible benefits, and there are ways to learn from each other, and we can cling to that and learn each and every step of the way. One of the things that also I love about Mother's Day is it kind of helps us reflect on the children and the childlike faith and what that may look like. And one of the things, the children have a great way of viewing life sometimes, right? And I'll give you an example of this. They may get something from, say, like, Amazon. You know, we're 2021. You get a present from Amazon, we get a present, or we get a gift, we pull in the Amazon box, we rip it open, we grab, we're like, yes, my new chandelier light is in, this is amazing, I love it, like, all right. And then it's like, if we're really good, then we take that box to recycling, right? And then we don't think about it. A kid gets Amazon box, they rip the box open, they get their toy, like, oh yes, my Barbie doll or my RC toy, this is amazing, or my new phone case, whatever it may be, this is amazing. And then they play with that for a while, but then what do? They go grab that box, right? And then they're like, oh, I can make something out of this box. Yes, I'm going to make a ramp for my RC car. I'm going to color this box. I'm going to do... And it's like they have this unique opportunity to take something as simple as a box, I know when my kids were really little, sometimes they would play more with the box than they would with the actual toy, right? But they had this unique opportunity to see what they have, to see all the beauty and all of the different pieces and all the little things. And so the title for my message today is a question. And I believe it's a question that we can look and even answer differently in generations and how we were raised and many different things come about. But this question is, what do you have? What do you have? That's the title, and that's what we're going to talk about today. And because if we think about it, and we think about that question, sometimes it can feel like, well, I don't know if I have enough. You know, sometimes I can look at that question and go, well, I need a little bit more. I need this. Or it could be, God, if I could just have a little bit more money, if I could just reach that next level of financial peace, right? Or I could, whatever it may be, what do you have? And sometimes life can feel overwhelming, right? Because it can feel like, and maybe it is even a reality of, I don't have what I need, or I don't have enough. Or if we look internal, we may look at our lives and go, well, I don't have enough knowledge. I don't know enough. I'm not secure enough. I'm not confident enough. You don't know what I was raised like. And so all of these things in life can just, honestly, if we're honest with each other, can feel overwhelming in different seasons and different times, right? And I believe that life happens in different seasons. And we could reach a new season, and we thought we were comfortable in one, and now God's bringing us into a new season, and it's like, whoa, I got to figure this thing out again. I have to reinvent. I have to reevaluate what this may look like. And so we see all of this happen in our story today in Mark chapter 6, how all of this comes together, and we see, I want to give you three principles, three truths, three things that we can pull from this scripture that I believe can apply to every generation. And my prayer, my hope is that it would encourage you, inspire you, maybe challenge you and direct us in our lives today. And so in Mark chapter 6, we're coming off a pretty big 24 hours for Jesus. In fact, if you look at the Bible outside of Holy Week, outside of Garden of Gethsemane and him going to the cross, most people believe that this was probably one of the most emotionally straining days for Jesus in his ministry. You see, in Mark chapter 5, we just studied a portion of it last week. He's going through a string of miracles, and he's teaching, and then he continues on in Mark chapter 6. He's teaching all day. I mean, imagine going to church at 9 a.m. and we're getting out of here at like 8 p.m., right? Like just the all series pulled into one. I mean, this is happening day after day. Jesus teaching is in a city by the name of Capernaum. And in fact, most people believe that Jesus was, of course, from Nazareth, right? But Capernaum is almost just down the road, the next city over, a little closer to the sea, probably would have been a little bigger and a little easier for him to get around. Peter lives there, and so Jesus, mainly in his ministry, moved to Capernaum and lived in this city, Capernaum. And that's important. You're going to see here as we get back to the end of the message. And then we read Mark chapter 6. Another piece that would have just really set heavy on Jesus is that early in Mark chapter 6, we see that his cousin, John the Baptist, was just killed. He was just martyred for his faith. And he is receiving this news. And so he's grieving this loss of an earthly family member. And the one who Jesus looked at John the Baptist and was like, there is no one greater, right? Like he's saying, he pointed to John the Baptist because he was paving the way for who Jesus is. And he just received those news, so he's carrying that loss. And then he goes into this full day of teaching in Capernaum, which we look at in here in Mark chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 34. Everybody with me? If you're online, welcome to the online. We're glad you're here. Comment, share this, whatever it may be. But verse 34, it says, Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. Late in the afternoon, his disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place. It's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the nearby farms and villages and buy something to eat. But Jesus said, you feed them. With what, they asked? We'd have to work for months to earn enough money to buy food for all these people. "How much bread do you have?" he asked. "Go and find out." They came back and reported, "We have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish." Then Jesus told the disciples to have the people sit down in groups on the grass. They sat down in groups of 50 or 100. Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looked up towards heaven, and blessed them. Then, breaking the loaves into pieces, he kept giving the bread to the disciples so they could distribute it to the people. He also divided the fish for everyone to share. They all ate as much as they wanted. And afterwards, the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftover bread and fish. A total of 5,000 men and their families were fed. What an incredible story. And what a beautiful picture. And so really, just to set this up, I think in order for us to really grasp and really get the full benefit from this, we have to take ourselves and insert ourselves into the story so we can really grasp it. I mean, imagine being a disciple, a follower of Jesus, and he is preaching to this crowd all day. They start in the morning. Jesus is like, "Hey, I got a message. I got a word. I am the word, and I'm going to start preaching," right? And the disciples are like, "Okay, this is going to be great." And then they look at their watch, it's like noon. Like, okay, this is getting kind of long. My stomach's grumbling a little bit, right? And then all of a sudden it's 2 p.m. Then it's 3 p.m., right? Then it's 5 p.m. You're like, okay, Jesus, this is a pretty nice message, right? But the people were still there. Blows my mind. It says 5,000 men and their families. So upwards to 10 to 15,000 people. And we see that this is one of the largest crowds that Jesus preaches to at one particular time. And so he is preaching and he is teaching. And all of a sudden, I just imagine the disciples getting together going, "Hey, look, are you hungry? I'm starving. I just spent all day. We've been doing this. Like, we need to go and we need to tell Jesus these people are hungry," right? Like, they are hungry. We're hungry. Let's just tell them that they're hungry. And they get together. I don't know who they would have selected. Maybe Peter. Maybe I'm thinking John and James, the sons of thunder, right? Like, you guys go. And so they walk over and they interrupt Jesus. Like, "Hey, Jesus, excuse me. Sorry, guys. Sorry. Just one second. I just went in to talk to Jesus," right? Because he's teaching like 10 to 15,000 people. And he's like, "Just excuse us." And he begins to, "Hey, Jesus, look, they are starving out there. They need some food. We need to bring them some food. It's been all day. We need to stop this and just let them go home. We're in a remote place." And Jesus looks at them and goes, "Hey, you feed them." Could you imagine them going, right? Like, you got Matthew, the tax collector, Thomas, who detail-oriented. They're like, "We're running the numbers, Jesus. This is not going to work. I just checked the ministry budget. It's not there. Like, I just left my fishing business. I left my tax business. Like, we don't have any money. We're not getting this stream of income. This is not I don't even have any food on me. Like, Jesus, this, us feed them," right? Like, look at their response. Like, "What? Us feed them?" And right here, I believe when we look at this conversation, because I just picture Jesus, he's just stepping back, kind of smirking. Like, he's like, "I'm about to teach you something. I'm about to teach people something for generations." And there's something about our relationship with Jesus. There are moments in our life when he peers into our life, peers into us, and he asks us to do something that is completely outside of our comfort zone. That is a faith-stretching moment in our life and in our relationship with him. And I want you to get this if you're taking notes. When I listen to Jesus, he will grow my faith. And what I love that term, grow my faith, that when we read Scripture, we're praying the Holy Spirit may put something on our hearts, and we, just like the disciples, look up to God and go, "God, the numbers are not adding up. This is not going to work. You want me to go talk to them? You want me to go forgive Jesus, this is not going to work." But there's a moment where he wants to grow our faith, where he wants to call us into a deeper relationship with him. And as long as we're listening to Jesus, I believe, and I've experienced in my life, that there's not going to be a moment where we sit down in our relationship with God and going, "Whew, yeah, I probably got about 10 years of being comfortable and not growing closer to Jesus," or not, you know, all these things. God is going, "No, there's so much I want you to discover. There is so much on this journey that I want to bring you and introduce you to. There's so many levels. You can't even comprehend the levels of love and grace and beauty and mercy that you can experience in Christ. And He's constantly calling us into a faith with Him. I love the illustration of a rubber band. And when a rubber band is being used, it is stretched, right? Like, that's letting you know that it's doing its job, that it's being stretched. And God wants to stretch our faith and grow our faith. That's the hard thing about growth, right? Is change. That growth means change. I remember being a kid and my knees were hurting because my body was changing so fast that it couldn't hardly keep up these growth pains. And in our life, there is moments where God may reach into our lives and say, this is a new season. This is something I want to do in your heart, in your life, in your mind, in your family. But I want you to trust me. And I believe that when we follow Jesus closely, He will grow and stretch our faith and their response. And then He continues here. And sometimes that's hard, right? Because it's unfamiliar. It's uncharted territory. We've never done this before, or we're walking in this. And so God wants to continue to do that. And here's the next part, which is pretty incredible here. And it says here in verse 38, this is what Jesus' response, right? He says, well, you feed them. And they're like, this is not going to work. And then He says, what? He says, how much bread do you have? And they're like, well, we don't have any bread, right? And He's like, well, hey, go find out. Go do some research. Go talk to some people, and let's see how much we do have. And they go and search, and they find this little kid, right? This little kid, and he's like, hey, I got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And they're like, perfect. Come on, let's go. Let's talk to Jesus. And they bring this little kid up, and this is not in Scripture, so don't hold me to it. But I just picture Jesus, and He comes up to this little kid, and He kind of leans down and looks at him and goes, hey, bud. He may not say bud. I don't know if Jesus says bud, but he looks down and he says, hey, I see you have 5 loaves and 2 fish. I'm wondering if you would give that to me because I want to show you something. I want to show you something about myself. I want to show you something about your relationship with God. And he's like, look, you see these thousands of people? They're going to witness it too. But will you trust me with everything that you have right now? With your snack pack, right? Like, will you trust me with it? And I love that the Bible uses a kid because childlike faith. Yeah, Jesus, take it. Go ahead, Jesus, take it. And Jesus comes and He takes it and He says that He blesses it. And this right here is so good because I didn't necessarily pick this up before. And reading and studying this again, in verse 41, it says, He kept giving the bread to the disciples so they could distribute it to the people. So remember, put ourselves in there. You're the disciple. You're going to the people. And He's like, split them up, put them in different groups everywhere around, right? So now you're going out going, hey, guys, let's get in groups of 50. Let's get in groups of 100. And you know people, they're crazy. Crazy, right? Like, why? Why am I sitting in a group? You're going to feed us? I'm hungry. We've been here all day. What kind of ministry is this? You didn't provide enough food for us? And the disciples are out there going, Jesus said He wants you to sit in groups, so go ahead. Yeah, I'm not sure, right? He's got 5 loaves and 2 fish, though. Something's happening. And He's sitting down, right? And then Jesus goes, He doesn't tell them what's about to happen. They have their baskets, and Jesus prays to heaven. And then it says He breaks the bread and gives them to the disciples. Go give this out. And I just imagine, like, their hands are probably shaking. They're looking at 10 to 15 thousands of people. They take their basket out, and they start handing the bread out. Handing the bread out. And then my favorite part of the story is it says that Jesus kept giving the bread out. And so they would give it out to the first group, and they're going, that's too much. Here, take this small piece, right? Like, we only have this much bread. And all of a sudden they go back, bring their baskets, and Jesus fills the basket up again. He kept giving it to them. Then He goes back, and they get the next group. They give it all out. Hold on a second. They go back to Jesus. Guess what? There's more bread. He fills it up again. Then they go back to the group. I love that Jesus didn't just stop in the moment and make all this bread appear. He used the disciples. He used the apostles. And He said, if you will trust me, then you will come back to me and I will fill your basket up. Now I'm going to use you to feed those people. And here's the second thing I want us to get today. Whenever or whatever I have in the hands of Jesus is enough. whatever I have, and I place it in the hands of Jesus, it is enough. Jesus didn't look at the disciples. He didn't look at these people and go, well, hey, look, okay, we'll go back and learn more and then come back here. Hey, go back and earn as much as you can. He goes, no. What do you have right now? What do you have? Place it in my hands. I will start using that right now. I'll start using you right now. And the beauty that they ran out and then they had to go back to Jesus to get filled up again. You and I, what a beautiful picture of our daily walk with Jesus, that we have a chance. We may get depleted, right? I mean, as parents, as mothers, I can't do this anymore. I got to go back to Jesus, right? And he comforts me. He fills me back up. He shows me grace. He shows me mercy. And then I go back and I give it out again. Oh, I'm depleted again. I got to go back to Jesus, right? Let me just get filled up again, right? Let me just trust him again. And it's this continual. Sometimes we think, I gave my life to Jesus, that's it. But every day we have this picture of going, God, all I have is yours. I'm trusting you with it. I'm going to listen for your instructions. I'm going to listen for you to tell me what to do. It may make me uncomfortable. It may stretch my faith. It may help me to grow. And every time we feel like it's all given out, we got to go back to Jesus. Every time we feel like this is overwhelming, I got to go back to Jesus and allow him and say, God, this is yours again. I need you to fill me up. I need you to help me. I need you to stretch me. I need you to grow me. I need you to do that. And every time we go back to Jesus, can you imagine the disciples' faces? The first group, they're like this. Don't take too much. You're okay. You're okay. By the fifth group, they're like, take as much as you want. Jesus is, it's still coming. It's flowing. It's like right? All of a sudden, they're confident. And now their faith is grown. Because in their first moment, their faith was the mustard seed. It was right there. And God's going, okay, I can use mustard seed faith. I can use the little bit that you got. Just hand that one out, right? And I see that even in my walk with Christ so many times. God, you're called, do this step. I don't know about that, God, right? And then you take it and you're like, ooh, okay, God showed up. God provided. He was there, right? And now I'm taking another faith step and another faith step. And then somebody that's back here going, you're kind of crazy, right? Like, I can't believe you trusted God with all of that. And you're like, I was there too, right? The disciples, that's when they started teaching and sharing scripture and the word, that's what they were doing. That's what they were saying. I was there too. And God is saying, trust me with what do you have? Anytime life gets overwhelming, God is asking you that question. What do you have? Something every time we feel like we don't have enough, I don't know enough, I believe Jesus reaches in and whispers in our ear, what do you have? Surrender that back to me. Trust me with that. Be faithful with that and watch me grow that in you. Watch me work that into your life, into your everyday scenario. And God is saying, trust me with it. When I place it in the hands of Jesus, I have enough. And that is counterintuitive to survival. It is counterintuitive to this world, right? Like all of those things. But God is going, that's what faith is hope in the unseen. God is saying, then you're dependent on me. And he's saying, I am faithful. And I want to show you that in your life. Be faithful to me. And the last thing here, and you may not see this, I'm going to go ahead and give you the third thing, is that God uses every season. God uses every season. Remember I talked about Capernaum, that they're in Capernaum now, and this is where he's doing this ministry, and this is one of the largest crowds that Jesus ever preached to. Well, Capernaum is the city where Jesus does most of his miracles. This is where all of this, the wedding at Cana is right there in that area. So he's right there all around Capernaum. And all of these miracles, all of these teachings Jesus was doing before this event, right? And in Nazareth, it says he was rejected. And actually, he had some pretty harsh words for Capernaum as well, because they weren't placing all their faith in him. And he's like, you're the place where I'm doing the most miracles, where I'm doing the most ministry. And there are places like Samaria, who the whole town is giving their lives to me, and they're not seeing all this. He's like, but you're seeing all of this. But what I love about God is that He uses every season. That first miracle that He planted in that area, now they're seeing fruit from it. That's why it's one of the largest crowds there, because He's using all of these pieces, all of these seasons of His ministry. And in that first season, Jesus could see it, but the disciples probably couldn't see what was going to happen in Mark chapter 6, right? That large crowd was going to gather, and they were going to witness one of the most incredible miracles to ever hit this earth. And it's because God used the seasons before. And I just want to leave you with this today, that God uses every season of our life. Every season. You may look at a season in your life and go, well, that was a waste. Only through the gospel, God will go, I'll redeem that. I'll use that. Give it to me. And when you surrender that to me, I will use that season. As dark, as unhopeful, as scary as that season may have been or may be right now, God is saying, give it to me and I will use it. And I'm going to give you this scripture verse, and then Matt's going to sing, because Matt is incredible. Romans 8, verse 28, and it says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. God says, I use all things for those who love me. Those who, I love how He puts that there. He said, those who trust in me. There's a caveat. There's a thing. He's saying, give it to me. I will use every season. You may have thought it was a loss or a waste. Moms in the house. God will use every season that you are in. You give it to God. Give that child to God. You keep praying. I'm the product of a praying mom and praying grandparents. Like, keep praying. God will use it. There are seasons in my life when I ran from God and I shouldn't even be alive. And God said, let me just yank you out from the pits, and then I'll use you for my glory. And I believe that He has a plan and a purpose for your children. And I hope that you get encouraged to go, I don't have enough, but I got to get back to Jesus, because when I place that in the hands of Jesus, because you may feel like I'm inadequate. I'm not even doing this thing right. I'm not, like, this is not even working. Jesus is going to give it to me. Give it to me. Start listening to me. There's going to be seasons where it's uncomfortable. You're not going to feel like this is not even right. Like, should I even be doing this? God is going, if it's according to my word, keep taking that faith step. Even if it's the smallest faith step. And I believe that maybe God is rebirthing some things in us and through us in this season. Maybe there's a ministry idea. God, you're like, I can't be a leader in the church. Woo. You don't know where I've been, right? God is going, surrender to me. I will use that story. I will use that testimony. And somebody will come through these doors and you'll share your testimony and they'll go, that's my story. If God can use you, He can use me. If God can change you, He can change me. If He can save you, He can save me. And all of a sudden, God is using all of those seasons in our lives. Those surrendered seasons. And so that's my prayer today as we leave out. Maybe you came in and life feels overwhelming. My prayer is that you'd be like that kid. God, here's my 5 loaves. Here's my 2 fish. Here's my life. Here's my plans. Here's my circumstances. Here's what's going on, God. Just take it, God. I'm listening. I'm following you now. God, I pray that you would use this season. And He is so faithful. And He is so good. And He walks with us. This is probably my favorite promise, is His presence. And He walks with us every step of the way. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, right? Like, He is I am here. And His presence means peace. And we get to walk in that love and in that grace. But let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we love You. You are so good. You are too good to us, God. Your grace is free and undeserved, God. Your mercy, oh, is new every morning. Thank you for walking with us through every season, God. I pray that we leave this place today. I pray the Holy Spirit would reveal the things in our life or the thought patterns in our life that we need to surrender to you right now. God, I pray that you would give us the courage to listen to you, God. I pray that we would give you our lives, give you our situations, and I pray that you would grow our faith. God, we know that whatever we place in your hands, God, it is enough. All I have, what do we have, God? We place what we have in your hands. Guide us, God. We pray that you would bless it. We pray that you would move through us. God, thank you for using every season in our lives. And we pray that, God, and we pass that down to the next generation. God, I pray that we will be a church where we don't drop the baton, God, but we keep passing as hard as it gets, as dark as this world gets, God. We are a city on a hill. Give us strength. Give us boldness. Give us courage, God. Keep refilling us with your grace and mercy, God. We love you. And ask this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Let's stand and worship together.
Thank you for tuning in to the Bridge Church Podcast. If you would like to find out more information about our church, you can simply visit our website at thebridgebluffton.com. Have a blessed day.